Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here at the Cannery or Mercy Lounge here in Nashville, Tennessee, hanging out with Chris Hanna of Propagandhi. And I know a lot of you like to troll me online for being a little too excited, but you're gonna have to bear with me for this one because Propagandhi just happens to be my favorite band of all time. So I am so grateful for you doing this, and I'm so excited to get into it. So
I paid him $10.
Yeah, you paid me $10 to say that. Just kidding. But hey, man, dude, this is such a pleasure. I'm so excited for the show tonight. Let's start with this. I've seen you play this for almost exclusively.
Since probably 2000.
Right.
Probably 2005 or something like that.
Yeah.
I bought it at a gas station outside of Winnipeg.
You're still looking at your Craigslist or something?
Some guy wanted to meet me at a gas station outside the city and struck it rich on this one.
Yeah, good job. What'd you get for it?
Do you mean how much I paid for
it? Yeah.
I paid the guy 900 Canadian, which is what, $50 American? And put the Evertune in, a couple of different pickups, and
what was going on during soundcheck? I noticed that you were having a little issue with the tone.
Oh, of course, that happened today. It sounded like the bridge tone pot was full. I don't know. We'll find out during the show if I fixed it.
All we did
was stick our fingers in and push stuff around. We don't really travel with guitar techs or anything, so we just
wing it. It sounded really, really good.
Oh, good.
So about that Evertune.
Yeah.
I guess let's start with basics because I'm going to get a little crazy on this one. But string gauges. You guys are typically an E standard, correct?
We're typically E flat.
Oh, okay.
And then we drop the E flat to C's and D's sometimes. And then we put a capo on, not on this tour, no capos, but we usually have capos all over the place. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess I was wondering about your string gauges because most of the time when I sit down to learn a Propagandhi song, it's in E flat or E. But you're bending the shit out of strings, but you still maintain like a not floppy top end. So is that a custom set? Or are you running?
I run 52s. Sulin runs 46s, but because of the Evertune, you can kind of get away without, like, you can downtune and not really get that spaghetti thing going.
Sure.
Because you can kind of adjust your own tension with your Evertune thing. You know, it's not a perfect system, but it's a really awesome system for what we do.
Cool. So what pickups you throw in there?
This, I can't remember.
Okay.
And it's probably something like, I don't know. I have no idea, actually. Oh, no, you know what? That might be a VH2 bare knuckle.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Maybe. And then this one for sure is a nail bomb. The Alnico. We call it Alnico, or is it Alnico? You know, that ceramic Alnico. I don't know what it's called, but
yeah. It'll be like a Alnico pole, like a 3
yeah,
or
that's
5
what it,
or something
it's
like
a
that.
Nail bomb.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Oh, good.
Okay, another thing. I know you guys have been using Axe FX for a couple of years, which is something I didn't really expect because I guess, you know, in the past I've seen you playing with 5150s, which in my opinion is kind of like the perfect metal punk tone, but you're running Axe FX now through Marshalls, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But you're going power amp, and you're just using the power amp, correct?
No. Okay. The FX8 is for using the whole thing. So I'm just using a drive.
Just effects.
Yeah, just effects on there into this. Like I've used the, I used to have the Axe FX 2, and used to run it through a power amp, and it was okay, but there's something something that doesn't push the same way. So, and I mean, on our records, we don't use the FX8s. We use the real pedal versions of what we're trying to do here.
You don't want to tour with all that stuff, yeah.
We don't want to tour with that stuff. These are just easy for flying in. There's less potential points of failure on your pedal board. And there's, you know, it's, you know what's happening.
Plus if this thing fails. Tap dancing all night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really convenient.
Yeah.
And I mean, we don't even use JCM 2000s on our records. Like, we used a Friedman, but we kind of have defaulted to stuff, equipment that you can get anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, you know, flying, and backline company is going to have these for sure.
Yeah.
So it's become more like just a matter of practicality, you know, sort of how
so
we're set up.
So that was kind of the Axe FX is more of a pragmatic approach. So you can kind of maintain
yeah.
your tone wherever.
And I mean, I compared it in the studio,
the yeah, FX,
and the Marshall. Like it's within like this much of the real thing, but just enough difference on a record that it.
You want to record with real
yeah.
amps and stuff, yeah.
yeah.
Plus Friedman's just sound
oh, yeah.
like a Panther Fist Razor.
Yeah,
those things
crazy.
Are amazing.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's really cool. So are you getting gain from the head at all?
A little bit. Yeah, it's room. I mean, a very little bit. Yeah, it's mostly clean as it is, and then the drive is coming from the FX8.
Awesome. How long did it take you to mess with that FX8 to get it dialed in? Because I've heard varying reports.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of a set it and forget it guy. So I tried something, it worked for a while. And then when I realized it wasn't enough, started tweaking more, go online, read what other people are doing, stacking their drives, which I think stacking your drives on these fractal things is the key.
For sure.
For me. It
helps you to jump also between balls to the wall. Yeah. And then just kind of like maybe the softer part in Coach's Corner or something like that.
Yeah,
it's not 100% drive. It's just kind of in the middle somewhere.
That's right. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Which, man, your soundtrack sounded really, really good. And I was kind of curious to see how it would sound, you know, with that. But I guess you're running the real amps as well.
So. Yeah.
Are these pretty much just like a big clean palette then? And then everything's colors coming from here?
Yeah, on mine, pretty much. Sue Lynn's is a bit different because she's just running a single channel 800. So she has to try to ride the line between the high gain and the clean a little. It's a little more of a balance for her.
For sure.
Mine's pretty easy to do, but yeah.
Are these your amps or is this backline?
Yeah, these are ours because cool. We drove.
Yeah,
we can
for
just
sure.
Just bring everything, but when we fly into somewhere, just get these Marshalls and we know what we're gonna get.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And then do you know what speakers you're running out of the Mesa by chance?
V30s on both sides. On the record, I used, what are those ones? What is in that old Marshall basket weave? Not T75s.
Is it not like
some
other watt speaker or something?
What the fuck is it? I can't remember. Anyways, it's that one.
Gotcha.
It's not V30s, but I like V30s live.
Sure. Oh, as opposed, yeah, you can feel a difference.
Yeah, yeah. There's like the ones that I use in the studio record really well, but these just have a far more aggressive, kind of visceral feel to them. So
that's very fair. Right on. I guess you know, we've kind of covered most of your gear. Does it make you nervous traveling with one guitar?
We have a second one that me and Sue Lynn don't want to use.
Oh, doesn't feel right?
Yeah, it's like our. It's the black sheep of the family.
An emergency.
Yeah,
guitar.
But yeah, I mean, we've always just kind of traveled like a bunch of dummies with no backup stuff, and something goes wrong, and just deal with it on the spot. Yeah.
Whatever. It seems to be working. You guys are still doing it.
Yeah.
Victory Lap is freaking awesome.
Oh,
by the
thanks.
Way, I'm a huge fan. Is it intentional that the most ripping ass solos on all your records are usually the last song? Like, I want to see like Pure in a Hall of Fame or like. I don't know if you've noticed, that's just something I've personally noticed as a huge fan, like, there's almost always, like, the most frantic, chaotic solo at the end of your records, and I just love it.
I didn't notice
iteration,
that,
Iteration, the end of that one is just, like,
yeah.
The nastiest, just goes all over the place, man. That thing is just screaming, so.
I'll have to remember that.
I didn't know if that was
time.
Intentional, or?
No, it wasn't intentional, but, yeah, we'll do that again.
Cool. And, all right, here's another question I have for you. In the song, My German is terrible, but they're
Die Jugendmannschaft.
Yeah, how do you say that?
Die Jugendmannschaft.
Okay, cool. So, like, in that song, it almost sounds like you're going into the Boys of Summer. Is that intentional? Is that a reference?
No. People have said that, and I guess I can kind of hear it, but it was totally not.
Cool. Yeah.
Not on purpose.
I didn't know if it was like maybe some sort of reference to a lyric in that song that harkened back to your song or.
Not on purpose. Hopefully, Don Henley doesn't see this interview and.
I highly doubt that he will see this. But if you're watching, Don, cool riff.
Thanks.
Man. Yeah.
Thanks for the riff.
Yeah, totally. Well, man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Before I let you go, one of my good friends back in New York, Enoch Porch, if you're watching, this is your question. He had a question. I guess I'll phrase this in two different ways. What was the catalyst? I was a huge How to Clean Everything fan and Let's Talk More Rock. And then 5 years went by. And when I graduated school, I remember hearing Today's Empires with my bandmates in a van, literally freaking fuck out, like, oh my god, this is like the Pink Floyd of punk rock, you know, which is totally different than, you know, your earlier material. What was the catalyst for that change, man?
Like, I think we just got a little bit better at our instruments, and we're kind of getting closer to approximating what we wanted the band to be originally. If you hear our demos before How to Clean Everything, it's much more metallic, but like really amateurish. And we just couldn't sing properly, couldn't sing heavy, couldn't play guitar quite like all the metal bands I liked. And How to Clean Everything, you know, I was like, oh, this is easy. You
know, sure, yeah. Pop punk, right?
No Effects, Bad Religions, that's easy shit. And then, but then we just got better and got closer to the goal.
Totally, yeah. Man. Yeah, you're absolutely getting there. I guess that's a good segue. Like, you're obviously a shredder. Was that because you were like really, really into Van Halen early when you were a kid or something? Or like, how did that come about? Because I hear a lot of awesome metal influence in your music. And
yeah, well, we grew up, metal is what got me into music, like Venom and Metallica,
totally.
Slayer, Exodus, all the, you know, all the great early metal bands in Canada, especially Sacrifice, Voivod. There was so much stuff going on that seemed, and we'd go see the bands, like SNFU would come to Winnipeg all the time, and not a metal band, but they were a metallic hardcore band in Canada, and it just seemed like within our grasp if we just worked a little at it. And,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you've obviously worked pretty damn hard at it, because I can't hardly play an acoustic guitar and sing at the same time, so you guys have very, very complex song structures and chordal phrasings and stuff like that. Is that something where, do you write lyrics and then shape them to a composition, or do you write around your lyrics? You know, like, how does that work?
I wish I knew.
It just like kind of comes
everyone's,
together.
Yeah. By the end of a record, we have no idea how it happened. And it's probably more like, it's probably more we try to hammer the words into the music afterwards, I guess, you know? But it's a two-way street. Like, then you start hammering the music to fit something you really like lyrically. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
While I got you here and while you you have everything set up because you guys just sound checked, I was hoping maybe you could take me through just a couple of settings. I know you're not like huge into effects, but I've definitely heard delay. I've definitely heard a couple of gain stages, and maybe like even like what gains you're going for in the fractal.
Okay. Well, this first one's just a clean channel. It's as clean as I get. And there's a little delay on there, but I often forget to turn it on, so. Because I'm a set it and forget it kind of guy. And then we just have like an in-between kind of thing.
Kind of like brown soundy, but not over the top.
Yeah. And then over the top kind of thing. I use quite a bit more gain than Sue Lynn does.
So, sure.
Kind of hides the mistakes a little more.
Oh yeah, I gotta love that. Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah. Is there a noise gate built into this? Because I noticed you're not.
You can see there that this one here is a gate. Actually, when I turn it off, it seems to be pretty quiet in here in this building.
Here.
But it has two gates. It has a gate on the front for like just the noise of a guitar, and then it has another gate that you can put post drive pedals to really tighten it up.
Yeah. Do you feel like it sucks any of that? Like, you remember those like old school like noise suppressors that kind of like suck your tone right away?
No, this one's really good. Like you'd have to set it very extreme to really notice killing anything at all. Yeah.
And as far as gains, like, you know, like, what were you going for in here? What did you model after? Would you use amps or effects?
Just effects. There's no, this one, FX8 doesn't have amps. It only has effects. And then what I was doing, I ended up kind of defaulting every time to those BBE, which are BB preamp. Do you know that one?
Yeah,
that
BB pedal. Mm-hmm.
So they have an emulation of that in here. And then I got one in real life, which is what we ended up using on the record, BB pre and an RC or an AC boost or something.
Yeah, the BB makes them both, right?
Yeah, they make like them exotic.
Exotic effects.
So those are the drives that I'm trying to get on here. And it sounds pretty close, like I say. It's like within this much. And live, you wouldn't really notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, again, I thank you so much for taking the time to walk through all this stuff with me and dork out with you, man.
Right on, Perry.
It means a lot, dude. I'm going to talk to Todd and Seelan.
Nice.
Now we're here with Todd the Rod Kowalski. Very excited. Yakshamash, Todd. Good to meet you, man.
I'm a huge fan.
So normally I see you with Music Man, like that sparkly Music Man.
Oh, a couple times.
Maybe what sparked the change?
Well, actually for quite a while I've been using this again. It's like I started using this in 97. And then
it's been around, huh?
Yeah, I did some of those Music Mans and they just kind of break too easy on tour. They have like more inputs here, you know?
Because the active pickups and
stuff.
Yeah,
and they're like the necks a little fatter, and I actually like the sound of this better. So I was just like, I don't know, I just took it out of its case and start. Well, I'd practice on this. I just like, fuck, I just like this better, you know? And I like the sound even better, even though it's like kind of an old, kind of mid-range Ibanez or whatever.
Well, so. Bass is technically like a guitar in general is kind of a mid-range instrument. I think a lot of heavy bands kind of forget that, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, like this cuts through and like kind of excites me more. It's like a little more faster.
I love the natural finish too, man. That's
cool. Totally. Yeah,
I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like natural guitars resonate a little bit better. They don't have a ton of shellac and shit all over.
Right, they seem
to kind of feel it a little more.
For some reason. I haven't. This one seems to sound a little better than like even the high-end ones I've tried, unless I'm just delusional, you know, because I like this one.
But, I mean, it's all relative, dude. You know, I've played, you know, $800 Les Pauls that sound incredible compared to like vintage awesome Les Paul. You know, it depends on the guitar. It really does.
Right.
All right, man. So, have you done anything to specify or change it at all? Like, did you change pickups or?
I don't think so. But these, all these new are all new.
Are these EMGs?
Shit, I can't even remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. EMGs. EMG, cool. It's almost like a PA.
Yeah. These are, I think, the original ones that came with it. Yeah.
Sound really, really
good. I think. I don't know. And then, all this is new because I've corroded all this shit so many times, sure. Like just from sweat, you know. So all this is new.
All new pots and
stuff. Yeah, it'll probably need to be done again some point soon. Yeah,
Are you traveling with a backup, or is this kind of it?
Yeah, I have like another Ibanez, like 1200 or whatever. But I don't really like it even close to as much as this.
Yeah, that thing.
It's just in case this one gets trashed.
Strings and gauges are you running?
Well, I guess today I'm using Ernie's balls.
Right.
Sometimes the Dario. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on,
dude. Yeah. Yeah. No, but they actually gave me some, so it's like kind of nice now. And
especially when they're like $40 a pop, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's then, really, really nice.
Yeah.
So, are you typically on the SVT?
Yeah, this is the amp I like the best so far. That's what I usually use. I've tried like, again, like for a while, I had Mesa Boogies, but they just broke. Like, we'd just be on tour, they break. Go here, they break. It gets too hot, they don't work, you know?
It almost seems like slightly counterintuitive because that SVT Classic is the heaviest freaking thing in the world.
Yeah.
And the weight alone, you'd think it almost would break more because like if it does fall or slip, it's going to be a lot worse than if it was a smaller amp. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. This is just my experience. Like I'm not saying that's what they do typically, you know? But I was just frustrated. I've never had a problem with these. I have two of these. The only problem is like fucking carrying them from my house to jamming two of them by myself.
The
sucks.
Worst, man. Yeah. The worst.
And then this, of course, everyone likes, and I like it. It's this fucking thing here.
Is that a 810s or?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's
I love 810s. 10-inch speakers with the bass, I think, is kind of where the money is if you're going for that punk rock punchy.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, these two things and this bass. And then this thing, I like this stuff without this pedal isn't as exciting, that's for sure.
The BB pre?
Yeah, Exotic Effects Bass BB. Yeah, I like that, man. I just like turn it on so it's the same loudness as this and add a bit of the, just a bit of the distortion or whatever. Or
just to get it to break up a little bit.
What do you gain or whatever the fuck you call it.
And you're not really running any other pedals, that's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I like to be simple about things. I just want to play and fucking rock and not worry about a bunch of stuff, you know, like I don't like hitting pedals, I don't like in-ears, you know what I mean?
Totally get it.
I like the excitement of music, and I find stuff getting in the way is like doesn't enthrall me, you know,
kind of. Yeah, it takes away from it a little bit almost.
Yeah,
but especially like since you guys are singing, like you and Chris are singing really complex parts, like over, like, you know, yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing to watch you. It always,
yeah, and I like the effects on guitars, like they add like depth in that, but like on bass, like I don't find like this combination of stuff really like has these like peaks that I need, like you know, compression and all that kind of stuff, you know, as much. And
so
whatever.
Are you just working your volume to get like a little bit of cleaner tones, or like,
yeah, just that, yeah, just go like this a little
just
bit,
kind of pull it off a little bit. Yeah, that's cool.
Or pick a little lighter too, you know?
Like, yeah. Are you pick and fingers guy or a little bit of both?
Yeah. Sometimes like little chords or just fucking little things. And yeah, it's more, and I like to actually hit, like I like slapping a lot. Anytime there's a note that's really hard, I slap it.
Yeah. All right, so you don't have a ton of stuff, but I have to ask. I'd love to hear your amp, but specifically in Unscripted Moments, the end of that song, it sounds like you were just going apeshit, dude. What is that?
No, I can't.
is that a tapping thing?
I think I was tapping like this and then sliding. But I don't do it here because I can't remember how right now.
I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, what in the hell is he doing?
Yeah, I was like kind of, I was playing the lick and I just went crazy and I said to the JP, the sound guy, I go, is that a little ridiculous? And he turns around and he goes, or is it fucking awesome?
I have to go with fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I kind of like that spirit, cool, you know? Yeah. I was just like, yeah, that's what I like, rather than just sitting there dully, you know, playing your notes and the engineer turns around, you know.
No, like, man, you gotta spice it up.
No, it's not quite in tune enough. Okay, let's tune it one more morsel, you know, and just like.
Yeah, I love it. It's absolute sonic excitement. That's the shit that really pumps me up.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Well, can we hear your amp, just like the bass tone that you're going with? I know that the BB is on, you told me a second ago, kind of all the time.
Yeah.
But what's, kick it off. Yeah, let's hear it without
okay,
it.
Okay, here. Okay, that's off. Just kind of flat. And then yours on.
It almost reminds me of like a better, you know, remember the Sonic Maximizers people used to use?
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of that. It just kind of gives you a little
Yeah, and it doesn't take away the like the natural tone, you know? Like sometimes you get the like the, sometimes you get the,
compression
just doesn't sound
not
right.
Not used right can kind of suck your tone down a little bit too, so Then it sounds freaking great. And then for your clean parts, you're just kind of rolling back a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit, Cool. And even then, sometimes it's just, I just pick a little lighter and, you know? Yeah.
Cover the bases. Well, dude, I really appreciate it. I'm so excited for the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
We're gonna go talk to Sulin. All right, now we're on the other side with Sulin Hago. You're the new guitar player.
Yep.
Man, Beavis a little dude, but big shoes to fill. And I saw the soundtrack and I'm blown away, man. You're such a shredder.
Thank you, dude.
Great. And you have kind of a similar setup that he was running in the last couple of tours with the 800 and an SG, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I've noticed that you also have that little Evertune guy going on with your SG. Is that something that you put in recently?
No, so, well, this tour, actually, I'm using this one. I usually use this, like, other SG, which is, like, a 96, and I just started using this this tour because of the neck. Like, I found that I personally like kind of, like, a longer, thinner neck, and the other one's just a little bit more of the rounded shape, and I find that that's just my preference, you know?
Totally.
So that's the reason that I'm using this one. It's a 97. But that one, both of them have Evertunes. I actually didn't hear about Evertune. Chris really introduced it to me when I joined, and a lot of the things that I'm actually using, because it's kind of like the gear that's in Winnipeg, since I have to travel so far from Florida, you know, like it's a lot of the things kind of like that they already had established, and I'm really all for it, you
if
know?
If it's
like,
not broken, don't fix it, right?
Exactly, yeah, and it's extremely convenient, you know, for if you're just trying to power through the set with like as much like technical things going on in the songs.
And you guys have a lot of technical stuff going on in the song, so I guess that's probably a nice relief to not have to mess with that all the time.
Yeah, the only, you know, it's like certain things, like I'm waiting for Evertune to come up with the one with a whammy bar, because like, that's like all the guitars I use in other bands have. Yeah, like I have like a Jag and a Strat, and even my SG has one like two back home.
So I guess my first guitar when I was a kid was an SG too, and so I always played Gibsons and got really used to that scale length. And then I remember when I got my first Fender, I'm like, whoa, well, this is awesome. Like the frets feel bigger, the neck is like a little thinner. And of all guitars in the world, I feel like SGs have the most variance in neck profiles, because, man, some of them feel like a Louisville Slugger, and some of them are so thin, and especially like the 60s and the 60s reissues and stuff.
Yeah, I have a 70s SG. It's like an SG custom. It's a freaking godly guitar, but like the neck is so, actually it's the opposite. It's very thin. Yeah, it's a 1970.
Those are Shredmasters, man. You can set that action super low and just really get after it.
Yeah, that's kind of like where it's at right now. It's cool.
Do you know what pickups are in this?
The JB, these are these are the JB pickups. I forgot what the neck pickup is, actually. I was considering going like that classic combo of getting the jazzy like kind of neck pickup
for
that clean, because that's where,
especially
like,
with an 800, like I don't know if you find this, but like I've had a couple of 800s and it's almost like a 5150 where like the gain sound is so sweet, but like finding a clean tone is a little tricky.
That's, you know, and it's funny because like every trip that I go up to Winnipeg for before a tour, it's like I'm constantly tweaking the sound, because it's like because I travel so far, and it's a huge expense to bring my own stuff,
for
it's like, and because of like, you know, I've had horror stories of like the TSA like banging on my pedals. I'm like, so I've been using this for less than a year, and it's been really reliable for that, or like cabling, but I guess my point is like with the clean channel, that's like kind of my next like project right now. It's like, okay, like I can tell it's not where I want it. And I play a twin reverb at home, so I come from like the classic, like amazing.
And super,
it's like,
clean.
So it's like I'm trying to find some kind of middle ground of like, it's perfect for for gain, and but I'm still toying around with that, you know. Like my, it would be ideal. I doubt this will happen, to have like an AB twin reverb.
Dude,
although I do have that at home.
That would be so sick. Well, you could always get an AB pedal and then even run, you know, effects in stereo with the Axe effects, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. And that's like whether we can do that. Ooh. Like, we'll see what happens.
If you have some time off of tour to play with that, exactly. That would be so cool. But
we'll see what happens.
In soundtrack, it didn't sound crazy at all. So for your
it's kind of there.
Cleaner tones, are you just kind of rolling off the volume a little bit, like Todd? Or?
No, it's actually just most of the clean. Yeah, exactly. Like for like note to self, and like I think you caught like duplicate keys, like things like that. Yeah, just to kind of pull it back from being so like crispy.
Totally,
yeah, exactly.
Like all that presence, like in your face kind of thing. Yeah,
so it's a nice like way of achieving that, I think.
Is this SG top heavy? Like if you let it go, is it dive
actually bottom? It feels lighter than the one I have been using, and I find that I really, this one feels comfortable for me.
I bet the extra weight of that Evertune really kind of helps that a lot, because you know a lot of SGs just stock will naturally, the head stock will, if you're not holding on to it, it wants
I've never
to
thought
hit
the of that, but it feels like way distributed really nicely. So
are you using the 800 for like a gain structure, or is that basically you're just going to try to get headroom out of that and then use the Axe FX?
It's kind of like the foundation, and then like in the Axe FX, there's another like gain, like a kind of, I believe it's like the BB preamp. Basically, so I'm like a big pedal head back home, like I have like a wicked, like crazy Terra 42, like that kind of beast. And
next time you're touring with your other band, and you guys come through here, like we got to.
Okay, that's like, you should see the mountain of gear that's in that crew. But anyway, so with the Axe FX, what I like is that I can still like emulate some of that, you know, where that all of those preferences and pedals are like part of my freaking being, you know. So it's
extensions
like
of yourself.
So it's like I feel really familiar with the sound. So when I come up to Winnipeg, basically, like me and like Chris will like meet up a little earlier before like practice.
Time.
Yeah, and just dial in the sound. So, I really like the overdrive is kind of like that and clean are just like my basics, you know. And then I have some variants of like presets, you know, that are kind of like emulating a little bit of what I have like back home, like some choruses or like chorus and reverb blends. Like I like a lot of like ambient stuff too.
Yeah,
so I have what's cool about the Axe FX too, and I've just started doing this, is having almost multiple pedal boards. Like I haven't been doing that up until this tour as well. You can see like I'm constantly tweaking.
Sure.
Like I just like the kind of person,
you know,
I am.
Most great players are chasing the dragon, man. They're constantly
You're never satisfied,
plus,
which is a good thing.
It depends, like, where you're at, where you're hearing it. Is it through a PA? Is it monitor involved? Like,
what songs you're playing even, too. It's like, oh, we're playing this song, and oh, maybe I could add this touch, you know. So I have a couple points in the set where I basically dial up to a different pedal board configuration, and so the reverb's different, where, like, in the standard one, it's a little bit, it's actually a little bit more kind of like an amp reverb, kind of like being
twin,
that I twin it,
yeah,
you know, just kind of like the surfy classic like sound, and then the other reverb is more of like that kind of plated, very like huge sounding one. So I like having that it's only like basically 8 banks, but having that feature going to different pedal boards, you can really like expand it, just because that's
is, like, just insane how you can set up entire different amps, and well, not with this one in particular, but you know, the 2 and the 3, you can, you know, have 4 amps on each patch, you know, which
it's
is something so crazy.
Yeah.
Are you using a lot of the chorus and reverb in this, like for the just kind of crazy, like
there's
ambient
a couple parts, like like I guess in this set not as much, but in previous sets, you know, they're so open to just developing or like changing, not changing their songs, but just like if I like have an idea,
augmenting
like
something.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, I'm Purina, maybe I can add chorus in a place that like this one riff, and like it's not on the recording like that, and I tried it live and it sounds cool, you know, just like kind of changing, like adding my touch. That's like, I know, again, like I really love like colors with the pedals, so like being like just doing it tastefully in songs that already people know, but just adding just like the hair bit of difference,
whole
you know,
little extra dimension or something.
Yeah.
Right?
So I use there's like in like Victory Lap, there's this middle part that I do use like a reverb and chorus kind of blend. That's pretty pretty awesome.
That rules. So yeah. For this pedal here, this fractal pedal, is that a volume or using it for an expression?
For now, volume. I do want to actually start using expression. We almost were going to do that, but we ran out of time. Like,
totally.
I'm there for like only such few days, and it goes by really fast before a tour starts. Yeah, so it's just a volume, just because I'm like a clean finish at parts, you know, rather than like, rah, you know, it's just like a kind of like nice, like if there's an exchange between like part, like people and parts, like I like to have that kind of nice fade, so I like to control it. But yeah, I am going to, I want to start bringing in like an expression pedal as well, just because I'd want to do some like delay kind of swirls and stuff too. You know, like Beav did a lot of that stuff too in the recordings. Like, and yeah, I like those kind of like sounds, you know, and
agreed. Yeah.
I do that back home. Like I have like the like timeline. I have it hooked up to that.
need like a college course to learn that thing, man. Like, yeah, I feel like some of those pedals are like almost too much for my brain to handle, like, you know, because they can just do so much. So
that's
I don't really
I like
need it to do that
them.
Much. I just need it to sound awesome, you know?
I have a combination of that, like, back home. Like, I have, like, stuff that it's, like, these are my staples. Like, okay, a flanger, that's kind of, like, I know what my settings are. But then the ones that are a little bit more expansive, I treat it like it's, like, you're playing a new instrument. Like,
oh,
I actually
sure.
sit there, like...
It's almost like a synth.
My yeah. weekends, like, I'm just make a cup of coffee and just sit there with the pedal, get to know it, and get to know it as if it's, like, I am playing it like it's its own instrument, you know? So yeah, that's kind of, like, something I'm going to look into kind of in maybe the next go-around or something. Yeah, so it'll constantly expand and change, you know?
It's awesome. So last question before I let you go. Being from Puerto Rico, right, and growing
Puerto
up in Florida...
Yeah.
How much do you like going to Canada? Does that bum you out? So poutine rules, but like, is it like
yeah.
freezing? Like you can't handle it or what?
This time around, I mean, I've actually been lucky to go like kind of unskied. I always go like when it's like just happens to be oddly warm. Like this last time I've been eyeing the weather and I'm like, holy shit, I can't even comprehend how cold that is, you know? And then like it warmed up like a couple days before I got there. I mean, yeah, it's you know, it's now kind of routine where it is crazy to be like, I fly that far for band practices, but it's worth it.
People might laugh at that question, but like, I remember once on tour, I had to play in Detroit. We had to load in and immediately play, which I had never done something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And my hands were so damn cold that it was like, well, I can't do this. Like,
yeah. Yeah, we walked to practices too. Yeah. That, you know, it's like walking in the snow. I mean, I think my tolerance for cold has definitely changed since like joining this band, but it has its moments where I'm like, damn, it's like you really got work to get to practice. Like, we have the convenience of having the window down, kind of driving, you know, it's always warm. So, yeah, I mean, it's just part of the experience.
I love your band. I'm so stoked that you get to play in this band. And this is so awesome, and I'm excited to see it tonight. So thank
cool.
you
nice to meet
for taking
you.
The time
thank
to talk.
You.
Guys, this is Perry with Premier Guitar. Stay tuned for other rig rundowns, lessons, all kinds of stuff.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.